Welcome you all tonight to our evening service. We're going to commence with a well-known hymn, 582, We Never Need Be Vanquished. Let's stand as we praise God tonight. Be seated. It is good song, good singing, praising God tonight. What a great stanza that last one is. We in ourselves are nothing. Well, that's a vote of no confidence in the flesh. Small, feeble host. Yeah, we acknowledge the Church of Christ, looked upon by the world, not much, very small, the faithful remnant of God's people. Nor have we aught of prowess wherein to make our boast. A stronghold is Christ Jesus. His grace alone we plead. His name, our shield and banner. Himself just all we need. Let's bow before the Lord tonight in prayer. Father, with these words that we have been singing upon our lips and in our heart, we echo them again before the throne of grace to give praise and thanksgiving from our hearts, Father, for all that we have received of the graciousness and mercy that comes from a loving Heavenly Father. Lord, we gather tonight in the Savior's name, thankful for our season of prayer before the service tonight. And again, Father, as we present the issues for tonight's meeting and the need that we have now, Lord, we ask by faith that we will know help and strength in this service as we sing and pray and read and look into the Scripture, that there would, Lord, be a blessing just fitted for every single need. Dear Father, we give ourselves again into your kind and gracious hand. We pray, Father, for walking and being led in the center of your divine will. We don't want to go astray. We don't want, Lord, to bring dishonor in any way to the name of Jesus. We want, Father, that we will be completely controlled by the Spirit working within, showing us the way we are to go, taking the Scripture, writing the truth and the promises upon our hearts, and that our minds and our affections and our motives, our desires, our will would all be conformed to your most holy purpose. Father, we pray tonight that as we have gathered here, some watching online, the ministry going out over sermon audio, Father, make use of this technology and let the Word of God go out over the airwaves far and wide. We pray, Lord, against the multiplied evil usages of the internet, and ever let there be a protection and a strong and high wall around every single believer. And dear Father, that we might see the extension of the kingdom of Christ and the usefulness of what we have today. We want to be vigilant. We want to use these resources to the best of our ability. And Father, we ask for blessing and expansion. Yes, Lord, we pray for people to be brought in under the sound of the Word into this house of prayer. And we pray that many more will be established, Lord, for the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Jesus. Father, to this end, we pray for all our churches in Canada, United States, for our missionaries, for the church in Ulster. Bless every faithful tongue that is proclaiming the wonders, the glory, the righteousness of our Savior. Lord, remember the needs we have, people who are sick within our congregation. We pray earnestly for all that we have mentioned many times over. Lord, you know our hearts and the desire we have to see your healing hand upon these dear ones in our fellowship. We pray also tonight for Reverend Bodner, that your hand will be upon him to help him in his time of sickness. Be with him, Lord, we pray, and bless him. Remember the needs in this very broken world. Father, we pray again for the Christians and the church in Ukraine. We ask for missionaries and ministers and for your guiding and keeping, protecting hand to be upon the church there. Let there be a faithful witness, Lord. We ask for the destruction of evil forces. We pray, dear Father, for the breaking down of those who have intention of evil things. Dear God, hear our prayers tonight. We want to pray, Father, according to your will. And we know the Spirit is given to enable us to do just that. And so draw near to us now. Encourage and lift up our hearts. Receive our thanksgiving, Lord. We pray for our school. We think of Whitfield. We ask for blessing to be upon all those who will take the break now over March time. Refresh, encourage, strengthen, build up. Bless student and parent and staff member, everyone who helps and assists in any way. Lord, pour out your Spirit of blessing. Protect our school. Go in front of us, Lord. Show us the way. Supply every need we have, practically, spiritually, academically, everything, Lord. I hear our prayers now tonight. We ask this in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. Number 76, hymn 76, when all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys. Let's stand as we sing again. Reading tonight, please, from Psalm 71. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. I am as a wonder unto many. Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, with thine honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and confused that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. They are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. The Lord bless His word to us tonight. I do believe that as you keep this psalm in your memory, at least aspects of it, you will see how it connects into the message that I want to share with you tonight as we continue our study in the book of Daniel. Welcome to our service tonight. Very glad that the faithful ones who have come back again for the evening service as well. Pray the Lord would bless you. And if you're visiting here with us tonight for the first time, or maybe you've come back again, I want you to be very, very welcome, and also happy folks joining online. Maybe it's the first time you have tuned in tonight, and we hope that God will use your time here, opening the Word to your heart, be an encouragement and a blessing to you. Let me ask our congregation, please, to continue to keep in prayer our sister Jennifer Browett, as she is in the ICU, still on the ventilator, still needing the intervention of our God for her. I was able to go in and see her on Friday, though she was unconscious. I was able to read the scriptures and prayed with her, over her. I'll ask the Lord just to really touch her and raise her to health and strength again. Others in our congregation, we have mentioned their names many times, and we do, and I know you're all praying for them, and I want to thank you for that and encourage you along that line. Let's not forget to pray for some of our seniors that can't be out to the house of the Lord. Thinking of Thelma Watson, recently the loss of her dear husband John. Remember Thelma and her family. It was good to see Grace Puccini was in the service last Lord's Day morning with her daughter Lisa, and we were happy that they were here. And well, you're really getting over the loss of loved ones. It's not a fast thing. It's a long process, but the Lord gives grace. And even our sister Grace was commenting how much she has known the grace of the Lord in her life, and very thankful for the prayers of God's people for her. So these are important things. Reverend John Bodner is asking for our prayer. Our brother has got cancer, and he is needing the touch of God upon his own life And we ask that the Lord just has mercy upon him and would bless him. And we continue to hold up the world issues and situations that are going on that are a real concern for everyone and the rippling effects of that in all parts of the globe. Please remember our services this incoming week. Wednesday night is the important meeting of the week. It's the time of prayer. And I want to ask you all to redouble your efforts to be at the place of prayer in person, if at all possible. And if not, be sure you're there online and that you can join with us as we present all the needs that we have for our congregation and all the things we have reason to pray for. We are in urgent times, and urgent times demand urgent prayer meetings. And so we ask you to think about that, please. Brother James Fraser will be bringing the word on Wednesday night, and then this coming Lord's Day, don't forget the services on the Lord's Day. Our Bible classes in the morning, 9:55, morning service at 11, and evening service at 6:30. And remember again that those services, for those who are online, unfamiliar with our work, well, they're two completely different services, the one in the morning and the evening, not the same one repeated, but different services altogether. And I trust you will take part, and the Lord will use his word to bless you. Reverend Gallagher will be with next Lord's Day to bring the word morning and night, and doing the Bible class, and also a message in the morning for the boys and girls as well in the service. Today is the day for collecting the nomination papers. Those who are members of our congregation have an opportunity to nominate 7 men for the deacon election. And if you, by any chance, miss getting a nomination paper, see Brother Fraser tonight or Brother Robinson at the door, and they'll make sure you give you one of those. And then you'll have to fill it out and then give it back to them tonight. Want to get all of those things tallied up. So thank you for your participation in that as we look at the next step we have to take. That's coming a little ways off yet. May 18th is our planned time for the deacon's election, and we ask for God's mind and will in that very important time. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise, number 676, remaining seated while we sing. Great hymn. I remember the first time hearing that hymn. We were at a minister's week of prayer, and the ministers that they used to do anyways get together and sing in one of the evening nights. And this was a hymn that was sung, and I had learned it just at that time for the first time. And it was a great encouragement to hear all of the ministers, elders gathered at that time, really praising God from the experience of prayer and the knowledge that there is and the joy of seeking God with all our hearts. Please turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, reading down into the second chapter to verse 19. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, Daniel, his friends, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards, and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went out that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the men of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we have this word open now tonight, I pray that our attention would be fastened to the Scripture, and that, Lord, there would be blessing. There would be practical benefit. There would be the application by the Holy Spirit to all our hearts tonight. Father, we are weak. We have no might in ourselves. And I pray tonight that you would enable me, Lord, to speak your word faithfully. I would know that unction and anointing and the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit for service now. Give understanding, Father, and bless us tonight. Lord, what about anyone here who is unsaved? Father, what about those who are listening online who don't know the Lord? Speak to their hearts tonight, I pray. Hear our prayers. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want you to think with me tonight, please, on verse number 18 and 19 primarily, as it deals with the request of David, or Daniel, I should say, and his friends. Urgency requires urgent praying. Urgency requires urgent praying. We know from our study so far that the test for Daniel and his three friends as to whether they would take their stand for purity by not defiling themselves with the king's food, they passed that test, and God had given them favor in the eyes of their overseers, and he had blessed them with healthier faces and healthier frames than all the other captives. Thus, the requirement that was upon them to take of the supply from the king's table was withdrawn, and throughout the 3-year training period, they prospered and they grew in wisdom, learning, knowledge, and in all the disciplines of life within Babylon. And now they were ready to be presented before the king. And such was the blessing of God upon their lives and upon them by their countenance, their spirit, and how they spoke, and how they answered the questions that Nebuchadnezzar put to them. Well, he found them much wiser, 10 times wiser and better than all the other students that had been under the same training program. But it was more than that. He found them 10 times better than all the seasoned magicians, soothsayers, Chaldeans in all of Babylon. This was nothing other than the hand of a mighty sovereign God who had blessed his people with his blessing. And when you are blessed of God, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else does or says, because the Lord cannot be outdone. They had purposed in their hearts to obey the Lord, and they were very conspicuous by their testimonies. They were not hiding. They were not ashamed. They didn't put their life under a bushel or hide it behind some kind of cloak. No, they were open and they were honest. In the very trying and difficult circumstances that they found themselves in. Let's not forget, we're dealing here with teenagers. We're dealing here with possibly young men 17 years of age, maybe younger, taken from their homes, their families, the places of their comfort and protection into a strange land. And more than one commentator have put forward the suggestion that Daniel and his friends, they were made eunuchs by the Babylonian authorities. And you might stop and think for a moment as what that would mean for a young man, 17 years of age, and what the trauma to your own manlihood that would be. I wonder, friends, how we have purposed in our hearts to be sure that our testimonies are not hidden, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for we are told it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Are we ashamed to speak out the name of Christ? Are we ashamed to wear that badge that we are a follower of the King? Now, what transpired in chapter 2 would greatly distinguish Daniel and his fellow slaves to a position not any longer of slavery, but of great recognition in the land of Babylon. Very similar, I might add, to what happened to Joseph. You remember, he was in prison. He interpreted some dreams, and then Pharaoh had a dream that he did not know the outcome. Pharaoh seemed to be a bit more reasonable guy than here Nebuchadnezzar, because at least Pharaoh told Joseph what the dream was, and then Joseph gave the interpretation. But no, the Lord was stepping up a little bit higher on this one here. But Joseph was exalted and became the second in the kingdom of Egypt, and the Lord greatly blessed him. Up to this point, Daniel had really not been known for his ability to interpret visions and dreams, which is why some commentators think that the events of chapter 2 happened very soon after the 3-year training period of these 4 young men. Now, you may or may not have noticed or understood some of the potential complication that happens in the opening verse of chapter 2, because we are told there, as we find this in the prophetic library of the Scripture, that through the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, 4 world empires are being revealed, starting with Babylon, going all the way down to the Roman Empire, which ruled, the Romans did, during the time of when Messiah was on earth. But the prophecy does not stop with Rome, actually. It's introduced there, but we find in the book of Revelation, it speaks about mystery, Babylon the Great. And there is interwoven in the prophecy of Daniel, connected to the book of Revelation, that which is going to come to pass at the second coming of Christ. And so chapter 2 gives us a snapshot of life in Babylon during the reign of this despotic, tyrannical, and radically impulsive King Nebuchadnezzar. Because his authority was absolute. There was no higher court in the land of Babylon. He was the supreme court. And whatever decree he gave was obeyed without question. The opening verse gives us a reference to the second year of his reign. Now, this has caused some debate and accusations of discrepancy, because how could it have been the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign if Daniel and his friends had already been in training for 3 years at the end of this time and been brought then before the king, where he found them 10 times better than all the others? Well, some hold that Nebuchadnezzar had a co-regency with his father, and that had lasted for already just over 2 years. And so he had reigned for a longer period, but this reference in chapter 2 and verse 1 is dealing with the sole reign of Nebuchadnezzar, not the entire length of reign. And this actually will fit in. You have no time to turn now, but to Jeremiah 25 and verse 1, that also gives a reference to Daniel and his time before the king in Babylon. What we have in front of us then, it would be the fourth year actually of Daniel and his friends being in Babylon, but it's the second year of the full reign of Nebuchadnezzar by himself. Adam Clark, a commentator, he holds the position. He said that is the second year of his reigning alone, Nebuchadnezzar. For he was king 2 years before his father's death. This was therefore the fifth year of his reign and the fourth of the captivity of Daniel. It was at this time that the king had a dream, and in that dream he was troubled. His sleep was broken from him, taken away. It was, in all reality, a nightmare. And he woke up, and he could not get back to sleep again. And so what did he do? He called the priests of darkness, of superstition, and of deception. They were the smoke and mirrors crowd. They were the ones who were called in to tell the dream and the interpretation. As the king said, the dream had gone from him. Now, whether or not Nebuchadnezzar had totally forgotten the dream, some, as they look at the Hebrew construction in there, they would say it's quite possible that it hadn't gone from him in the sense that he had forgotten it, but he was not prepared to reveal that dream because he knew very well the deceptiveness of those magicians and soothsayers. And if he had told them the dream, well, then they would have concocted some type of interpretation that would have made the king feel very good and make him promote them in his kingdom and so on. Others feel that Nebuchadnezzar, in the dream having gone from him, it was sort of a foggy, misty sort of a situation. that he had some recollection. And it's like when you and I are trying to think of a name, and we can't get that name, and if someone else may know the person, you say, well, just tell me the name, and then it'll click with me, and then that's sometimes how it works. Whatever is the case, it was out of the ordinary for him to ask these soothsayers for them to give him a dream that they did not know and the interpretation. As a matter of fact, so demanding was this request that they said, this is not reasonable, it's not possible. No other king would ask men of this thing, because they said, how can we know something that only the gods would know? The gods don't dwell among the flesh, do they? Or do they? Or has he? And so in this very case, the king was enraged by their inability and their stalling for time. And he very well says that he says, you're just trying to buy time. But he said, if you don't tell me, you're going to be cut in pieces. There wasn't much diplomacy with Nebuchadnezzar. There wasn't much grace with this character. He either got what he wanted, or you are going to be the consequence of his fury and his anger. And so at that time, their appeal to the unfairness of the request, it was no avail. And the decree went out. And Arioch, the captain of the guard, the executioner, he went to seek out all of the magicians, soothsayers in the land. This would have taken some time, you could imagine. Babylon was not a small place. And so they would have begun that process of going out and gathering them all in from every different village and town, wherever else. Every one of them was going to be cut in pieces. And they sought out for Daniel and his friends. Now, Daniel and his friends, they had been brought in before Nebuchadnezzar, but don't forget this, that of all the business that the king had to do in the empire, I mean, why would he necessarily remember or have sticking out in his mind these four different characters when there could have been 40 of them in front of his room? We don't know how all that would have worked, but he was a busy man, lots of things on his mind, and he sees all kinds of these things going on regularly. So, that he wouldn't necessarily have remembered or had a marker for Daniel. And he was certainly not one of those that were called when the soothsayers, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers were brought in to tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream to begin with. And so they sought for Daniel because he was going to be slain with the rest of them. You know, we learn a couple of things from this, kind of by the way here tonight. But you think about Nebuchadnezzar and having this dream and being how unsettled he was by it. Even those people in the highest places of authority, of power, of wealth, they can be very easily distressed by their own dreams to a point that they lose their peace of mind. They lose their joy. Their joy and happiness and contentment of life is taken from them. And the old adage goes, of course, that the wealthier that someone is, the more that they have, the more kingdoms that they have to be concerned about, well, the more pressures that are upon their mind. Because don't forget, this dream that would have come to Nebuchadnezzar, it was so unsettling for him, because he had some idea it was affecting his kingdom, his authority. Whenever people get to be that high up, they're always looking over their shoulder. They're never knowing when there's going to be a Brutus around the corner with a knife to plunge into him. And so he would have been very concerned about his well-being. Terrorized, as a matter of fact, of things out of his control. Wondering what would the future hold for him, for his kingdom? Would he be able to maintain power of all the empire? His soul was troubled, even though he had many, many riches. I wonder sometimes about how Mr. Putin feels these days of the many voices that are speaking against him. I wonder how well he sleeps at night. We may do well to pray that his sleep will be taken from him. We learn also about these astrologers and soothsayers and those who are pretenders to be in contact with the supernatural. They are often more deceived than the ones they are trying to manipulate. Without doubt, these necromancers, they were controlled by satanic power, and they were limited to reveal only what God allowed them to know by his omnipotent power and knowledge. Just like the prophets of Baal in Elijah's day, when they cried out and they screamed and they cut themselves until blood ran down their bodies, hoping that Baal would answer them by fire and consume the sacrifice. But there was no answer from heaven, from Baal. You know, upon hearing the decree from Arioch, the executioner, Daniel, appealed for time, and he was brought before the king to make his case. And you might wonder, as I have, why didn't Nebuchadnezzar just order the destruction of Daniel right on the spot? How dare you come into me to beg for time? I've already made my decree. I think one of the reasons is because as Daniel came in and said, "Give me time, I will tell you your dream and your interpretation," that Nebuchadnezzar was so consumed with this. He was so infatuated. He had to know what this was all about. He was prepared to give Daniel the time. And in light of all that we have been speaking tonight, really by way of introduction, the focus of our message tonight, as we sift through all these details, it's to consider in verse 18 and 19 the dependence on prayer in order to receive the mercies of the God of heaven and the answers to their prayer and the showing forth of the glory of God to this heathen king. And I pray tonight that the Lord will impress upon our hearts here the irreplaceable importance of the ministry of prayer in our lives, in our time. As God has called us to this work, as God has called us to operate and to be a witness in our day, you and I must be men and women of prayer, or else all things that we attempt to do for God will be of little import. We learn tonight in the first place that they besought God for his intervention in their problem. This was no small matter. If we think of anything as being an urgent matter, this was urgency, and it demanded of them urgent praying. Their life was on the line. They knew what was in front of them, but the executioner's sword to be publicly dismembered piece by piece. And think about that for a moment, because we read it on the page and it doesn't really enter into much to our minds. But could you imagine the whole crowd of these soothsayers and magicians being gathered into a large court. And the executioner, one by one, goes down the line and begins to hack them in pieces. And you wonder, as you look down the line, you're going to be next. The terror that would strike your heart, the loss of all your bodily functions. This was a terrifying time for them. This was an urgent time for them. And my dear friends, what Daniel and his companions did in their first resort, they went to God in prayer. They didn't call for a strategy session. They didn't call for some other type of council or meeting. How important is the place of prayer in the work of God? The first place they went to was before the God of heaven. And they knew they had to get before the Lord in prayer. Their only hope in this urgent time was for the intervention of their God. It meant their life. Their life had already been on the line, you know, because when they refused the king's food, and they knew if they had not shown themselves to be healthier and better, that would have been the end of their life there as well. I mean, slaves were really a dime a dozen. We could just get other ones. But the Lord's hand had been upon them then. But they did not take this for granted. Oh no, they didn't think to themselves, well, we are the men. I mean, God has already done it for us. We are protected. We're in the forefront. Let Nebuchadnezzar get his big sword out. That's nothing to us. They didn't think like that at all. They did not look upon themselves as being some type of super people. They were humble servants of the living God. And they went to him in their first resort. And it was not just the first resort. It was the last and the final one for them. Because nothing else mattered in between time. I wonder, friends, how many victories the Church of Christ has lost, or we could say misplaced, by bad counsel. When some other course of action was taken to, you know, mitigate the potential damage control, how many other types of activities were engaged in? How many times have you and I been in the place of urgency? It may not have been life or death as serious as these men, but it was a serious time in our life. And we began to fret and we were upset. And we pick up the phone and we call this person and call that person, call someone else. We begin to cry to whoever will listen in our time of trial. Eventually, we'll get to the Lord. But He's not the first and the last resort. When we have listened to bad advice, or we have just succumbed to our own personal feelings and our own individual failure in that sense, well, we will be the losers for it. How important, my dear friends, is the ministry of prayer and that burden of prayer in our hearts. Let it always be in our hearts, our minds, that we will seek the Lord in the first place. And we will make Him our final resort in these matters. Now, I'm not saying that there's not going to be a time for us to behave practically and reasonably. There always is, because God helps us to work through the due diligence of our human resources. And He will often work through the means that He gives us at our disposal to accomplish an end. But every one of those steps must be bathed in prayer. We must seek the Lord in our dependence upon Him first and foremost. Please notice the substance of their praying. We're told in verse number 18 that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. They would desire mercies from the God of heaven. The very nature of prayer is that we are asking something that we cannot do ourselves, and the granting of our prayer, it is a mercy from God. And we know that. But how many times do you actually think about it when you get before the Lord in prayer that you would use this type of language and you would say, Lord, I'm coming before you to ask you for mercies from your hand. But this is the very pattern or a warrant for prayer that you and I are able to bring before God. We come to the Lord and we are asking for His hand of mercies, for His blessings to be upon us. And when we categorize this in that general way of being the mercies of God, well, how many things flow out from that? There are many. But this was a very specific mercy that they were asking for God, the substance of their praying. It was specific. They wanted to know the answer concerning this secret. Friends, when you and I come to pray, and you have heard this before, but it's good to be reminded of, let us be specific before God in our praying. Because general praying, we could say, will bring answers that are so general that you won't even know that you've received the answer. And that's why when we come to the Lord, as these people did in that urgent time, they brought their heart request. They brought the burden of their soul. And friend, tonight, what is the burden of your soul? What is that very urgent matter that you need to present before the Lord? Even now, as you're hearing this, maybe you are bringing that to God, and rightly so. Presenting that matter before God, it might not be that anyone else knows the detail of it, but you're asking the Lord, you're bringing that before Him. Your own heart is being poured out to Him. Let the substance of our praying be very specific before God, as these men did. You know, we also learn from this tonight that prayer, about prayer in God's sovereign plan. How does prayer fit into God's sovereign plan? If Daniel was given the gift of interpreting visions and dreams, which he was, then why did he engage himself and his friends in praying? Think about that. The Lord had already given to his servant this ability, this gift, this talent. And yet Daniel, knowing that the Lord had so blessed him, was not prepared to just rest on his talents, his abilities, his gifts. But he realized that this must be bathed in prayer. We must come to the God of heaven and seek Him for this answer. We need help from the Lord. The fact that they did pray on this matter is for us once more an evidence that the people of God are called to pray for God's intervention in our life situations. In all of the mysteries of divine engineering, of all that's going on in our world. God responds to our praying. And when we view all human history in heaven, when we get there, this will be one of the most breathtaking observations to see how divine providence has worked in conjunction with human praying. I don't understand how it works, and neither do you. I don't know how we can believe and trust in a God that has planned all things and knows all that's going to come to pass. And yet we are directly commanded in the Word of God to pray and to call upon Him. And the evidence before us tonight is another reinforcement of that truth, because God had blessed Daniel visions and dreams. Why didn't he just go and say, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, God has given me this gift, I'm just going to go in and give that to you. But that's not how it worked. Because Daniel knew, and God knew, that he wanted him to be brought to the place of dependence upon the Lord, of not relying on his own abilities at all, of presenting themselves before the Lord and saying, Father, here we are. We depend upon you. We know, Lord, that you are the God of heaven. We know that all things have come to pass according to your divine mind and purpose. And we are in the middle of seeing the unfolding of these mighty things, including our slavery. We are in your hands, Lord. And we want to be part of your providential purpose and engineering. And may our praying and the very commandment to pray and how we will obey that commandment, and we will see, Lord, that we are part of that great eternal machinery and mechanism. Notice, please, in the second place tonight, that Daniel sought out those he knew were men of prayer. Very specifically, the Holy Spirit records the names of these men. This is one of the last times that we have it recorded in there, the few times in the book of Daniel. But their names are specifically mentioned, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel says, we're told, that he went to his house. And it's quite possible that these men, companions, were staying together in that particular house that they were in. But he went and sought for them. Matthew Henry made this comment. He said, praying friends make valuable friends. Praying friends make valuable friends. What kind of friends do you have tonight? I would say to the younger people, teenagers, listening online, watching tonight, here in the service, what type of friends do you have? Is it possible that you would be in a position to say, in your time of urgency, if you were standing where Daniel was standing, would you have a network of people that you would feel comfortable about going to them and calling them to your place and saying, we have a problem. We have an urgency. Or would you have to sit and scratch your head tonight and say, I don't even know if I know anybody I could call. But the greater question comes tonight, are you the person that would be called? Are you the person that others would say, I have a problem, but that woman of prayer, I need her praying. That man of God, I need his praying. I'm going to call on them. Or would our name come up before someone, they say, well, there's not much point calling that person because I really don't think they be very helpful. No, friends, these companions of Daniel were equally strong men of God, and they were strong men of prayer. They were teenagers who were in touch with the Lord. They were teenagers who believed in the Lord. And they were good friends to have when it came to this urgency of prayer. Please notice, number three, the ground of their praying. We're not told specifically here about the ground of their praying. So, but what do we know about that? We know that these four men were Israelites. We know that they were taken from Israel into captivity. We know already by their testimony that they purposed not to defile themselves with the strange foreign meat that had been offered to idols. We realize that some of these things go in the background to tell us that these are men of conviction because they are men of God. They're men who believe in the Lord. They're men who believe in the God of heaven. In other words, they have a covenant relationship with God. And that covenant relationship is the very ground of authority that enables us to come to pray. This was their God, and they knew that they were welcome in the presence of the God that they were praying to. They were accepted by Him. And you know, tonight, friend, you and I are accepted in the Beloved. You and I have authority and welcome in God's holy presence. And when we are overcome with the urgency of our time, let's never forget that we have the ground to come before God in prayer on the ground of the sacrifice of Christ. The Old Testament believers, they knew the Messiah was coming. Daniel prophesied so much in detail of the coming Messiah that when we come to that chapter later on in our study, it is quite astounding. Yes, he knew that Messiah was promised and was coming. And their hope was in the God of heaven and earth. The ground of their relationship with Him meant they had a welcome in prayer. You know that Daniel, later on in the book, he went to pray three times a day, and he opened his window toward Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Was it because he had kind of a warm and fuzzy feeling about Jerusalem as being his home and his country and all that kind of stuff? No. The reason he opened his window toward Jerusalem was toward the place of the temple, the place of the sacrifice where the blood was shed, the place where he knew that God promised to meet with His people. And He wasn't there in location, but He was there in spirit. And He was there knowing He had acceptance before the Lord. And the ground of our praying, friends, means that we are always able never to stay away, never to think we are not gifted enough to pray, we are not good enough to pray, we're not holy enough to pray. No, friends, because all of those things are completely fulfilled and satisfied in our Lord. And so we have that in Him. And that gives us great peace and great comfort and great satisfaction. In the fourth place tonight, their appeal included the well-being of those who were very different from themselves. Notice what it says in verse 18, that they prayed that Daniel and his fellows should not perish. And then it says, with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So in their praying and in the answer that they were seeking from the Lord and God, the dream and the interpretation, that they would not be slain. That when God answered their prayer, they would not perish. But neither would all of the other soothsayers, magicians, and astrologers. They were getting their life spared as well. And it was sort of a fallout benefit of the virtue and the holiness and the testimony of these men, Daniel, his friends. They were not vindictive at all here. Because don't forget, these astrologers were completely different. They were godless heathen men. They were satanically inspired and all of the root of it. But Daniel didn't say, nor his friends, "Lord, save us, but let them go under the sword." No. There was an appeal that necessarily included the well-being of others who were different from themselves. May God give to us such a spirit, such a heart, in the situations where if we have received or will receive blessing and deliverance, escape from warfare and harm, seeing those who are fleeing war-torn situations, yes, maybe there's a way and a vehicle that our prayers will be beneficial for believers and also beneficial for others that may escape harm. And we would hope and pray ultimately that they would be brought to Christ, but we leave that in the hands of our sovereign God. In the meantime, and here is where your practical investment, if you are able and find a suitable outreach to supply help to Christians in the Ukraine, then I encourage you to do that, because the fallout of that will be given to help others too. The final thing I leave with you tonight is this. Please notice their gratitude for answered prayer. This is in verse 19. "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." And his name is used in singularity here, but I have no doubt whatsoever that his three friends were part of this rejoicing, a part of this thanksgiving, part of this gratitude, part of this praise. Yes, they were unified in their thanksgiving. God had answered their prayer, and the Lord revealed it ultimately through a night vision to Daniel in that very gift that the Lord had blessed him with. But Daniel knew it was the outcome of their praying. It was the outcome of them getting before God with devoted and dedicated and directed praying. The Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he healed 10 lepers. And one of them came back to thank him for his cleansing, his healing. And the Lord said, "Only one? I thought there were 10 healed." "Yes, Lord, there were. But he was the only one that came back." Let's not be unthankful believers. Let's be very careful that the Lord knows our gratitude for answered prayer, that we will give praise and worship to him. Because that gratitude and that thanksgiving that flows to the Lord, that's part of how we are to be trained and disciplined in our praying. We have here before us, in this account of the life of this man of God, these men of God, how we should pray. And as we gather these jewels and gems and the nuggets of gold and silver as we go through our Christian journey and our study of the Scriptures, my, these things are so beneficial to us because they teach us, they help us, they encourage us along the way. We are the Lord's people tonight. And as we are His people, we are called to be men and women of prayer. And I encourage you. I thank you for your faithful praying. But we all know our weakness in these areas. And we come to the Lord and we say, Father, increase our faith. Help us to see prayer as our first resort. Help us to make prayer our final and last culminating, concluding resort. And we will give all praise and honor and glory to Him. Ah, but friend, if you're not a Christian tonight, you have no prayer life. A lot of times non-Christians pray, at least they will say they pray, and they pray to whoever they think up there. The man upstairs, sometimes they call him, referring to the God of heaven. But their prayers never go above the ceiling in that sense, unless it is that confession of sin and the calling out for Christ to come into their heart. And I encourage you tonight, friend, and anyone listening, maybe you're listening to this message and you will later on, some other time. Well, let the message of truth and the message of the gospel and the call to repentance that Christ gave from His very lips, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, that you might do that tonight. And as you do, you call upon Him. You will find that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's His word. That's His promise. And we have experienced that tonight. May the Lord bless and write His word upon your heart. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we have so much to learn from the Holy Scriptures, and I pray that we will not lose out in any way, but that we will grow in grace, and that we will know daily the increase of our communion and fellowship and walk with our Savior. And that, Lord, we will be taught these lessons that we have known before, and they'll be reinforced into our hearts, and that we will be men and women of prayer. Because, Lord, in our urgency, that we will be urgent in prayer. Part us now, Lord, in your fear, and with your rich blessing on us, remember our sick ones. Father, touch them, we pray. These are urgent matters, Lord, and we pray that you will intervene for the glory of your name. We ask all of this for Jesus' sake. Amen.